In the name of Jesus, whose name means Savior, the one whom death could not hold down, the one who rose that you and I, in His life, might have life eternal and have it to the full. Friends of Jesus, those of you that have been with us through our Lenten journey, you know that the theme this year has been the passionate questions, either asked of our Savior, asked by our Savior, or perhaps asked and surrounding our Savior in His suffering and death. And this morning we kind of get to the end of those questions, but we don't get to the end of the Passion. The question that is before us is taken from Luke's 24th chapter, verse 5. The angel asks, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" There's a little bit of an edge to that question, isn't there? Maybe even a little bit of a rebuke. Now, granted, the women were coming out to the tomb. They were not able to prepare Jesus' body on that Friday because the Sabbath had crept up on them, and now they were bringing their spices and their perfumes to properly prepare and pay their homage and respect to Jesus. That was kind of their last possible offering to Him because He was no longer with them. And as they were hurrying out to the tomb that early morning, it dawned on them, you know, on Friday they put this big old stone in front of the hole and Pilate sealed with his ring. How are we going to get this stone rolled away? Or as they said it, who will roll the stone away? Such worry, such concern, such grief, such sorrow. But one of their problems was taken care of. Because as they arrived at the tomb, they realized, you know what? Something's not right here. There's no stone there. And as they went into the tomb, they saw, He's not here! Which would lead the angel to ask the passionate question today. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Or maybe a different way of putting it. Why aren't you looking for a living Jesus? And why do you still think that He is dead? It's a question that the angel would ask the woman. But it's also a question that He asks us this morning. We have come here to celebrate a risen Lord. And yet, does our life always reflect that? When we look at the sins of our everyday lives, we carry around this needless burden of guilt, somehow planning in our minds that we have to make up for these sins that we've committed. There's so much guilt here. In order to make myself feel better about my own life and my mistakes and failures in the past, I got to do something. We got to give Jesus some kind of proper burial. Or maybe there's those stones of worry in our lives. We have all kinds of things, obstacles that we have to get by in our lives, and maybe we think that there's this huge stone in front of me and how am I going to move that out of the way? Or maybe it's just when the question is asked, why do you look for the living among the dead? We actually go out to the dead, our dead, in the cemetery, and we continue to grieve and feel that great sorrow over them as though they are not alive in Jesus. Or perhaps maybe it's just those sins that we can't seem to let go of. We let them dominate our lives, we can't let go of them, and it's almost as though we're saying, I'm looking for a living Jesus, but really, maybe He's not so alive. That's what all those things say in our lives. But we're here today to celebrate, to remember, to commemorate that Jesus has risen. Indeed, He has. A proven fact, as the angels and the disciples would later go out to the tomb and see there was no one there. So that must mean then that all those needless sins that we find so much guilt and carrying around and trying to deal with, they must be gone. Those stones of worry in our lives and in the world, Jesus has taken them and rolled them away, or at least He has the power to. Maybe not yet. And those loved ones who die in the Lord, why else did Jesus die and rise than to give them life as well? And for that matter, as we heard in our second lesson, if Christ has been made alive, then so are you, and you are no longer in your sin. Why do you look for the living among the dead? A question that was put to the women that came to the tomb. A question that is put to us still today. Why? We asked that Good Friday, didn't we? Why have you forsaken me? And we ask it again, why? Why do you look for the living among the dead? And the answer comes right from the angel, who gives us the most obvious answer, and the one that Jesus had been saying all along in His ministry. He's not here. He's risen. Remember how He told you while He was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. The angel knew why. The angel also knew that the women had forgotten, the disciples had forgotten. Maybe they listened just up to the point where Jesus said He would suffer and die. Maybe they still thought He was going to have that earthly kingdom here. Maybe they had these hopes that He wasn't really dead, but I'm not quite sure what they were looking for when they went out there. But regardless, they'd forgotten. They thought that Jesus was not living, but was in fact dead when He had told them specifically, I will suffer, I will die, and on the third day be raised again. But then the angel asks us the same question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? I've given you my word, Jesus says. I've told you over and over how my death has taken away your sin, how my constant care of you will watch over your every move, every worry, every obstacle. Those loved ones who die in the Lord, I've already got them, more so than you ever did, in my care. And even more, I've got my most reliable source left for you, that of my own word. That of my own promises given to you in my word, where He tells us, surely I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. That when fear comes over us, Jesus says, do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Jesus isn't dead. He's very much alive. He's very much alive, and He shows us how alive He is when He comes to us in this simple word. Something we use every day to communicate with one another, and He chooses to come to us and to give to us this precious message of how He's come and motivated us to turn over a new leaf, so to speak. To bring that new person that He's given to us. And to remember how we too were buried with Him through baptism, into His death, that also through His life, we might also be given a new and different life. One that is not looking at this empty tomb and saying, well, where did He go? Where is the living among the dead? We don't look for the dead. We don't find our sorrow in those who die here on this earth as though it remains and that's all we have. We find our joy in the fact that He has risen and He's given us His reliable word as a testimony to it. You know, there was an Old Testament prophet 900 years before Christ came on the earth as the God-man, before his incarnation. His name was Elijah, and if you remember about that guy, he had a pretty difficult ministry, but yet God also would show him all kinds of power. If you remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal, you remember Elijah and his dealings with Ahab and Jezebel, but you also might remember Elijah, and that's what we point to this morning, as the prophet who ran away and hid. He went to a cave to hide under a rock, if you will. And when he did, God had told him to do all these things for him. God came to him. And he asked him this very simple question. It's kind of like what we heard in the sunrise service. What are you doing here, Elijah? It's almost like he walked up to the edge of the cave and he peered in and, What are you doing in here? I gave you all this work to do. I want you to go and proclaim my word to my people and maybe even those who haven't heard it yet. And here you are sitting under a rock waiting in fear. Maybe in sorrow. Maybe in a little bit of self-pity. It could be the same thing that the angel said to the women who were at the tomb this morning. When the angel said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? What are you doing here?" It's like us going out to the cemetery and looking for our child who has... We don't know where they are. We know they're still alive, but I know, let's go to the cemetery and find them. Kind of ridiculous, isn't it? And yet this is what the angel says. Why are you looking for a living Savior in the place where He was dead and is no longer? You've got work to do. And this is really when Jesus comes to Mary. Again, we heard this morning. He comes to Mary and He tells her not only her name, bringing her, waking her up, showing her who the Savior is, but then also says, you've got a job to do. What are you doing here? Why do you look for the living among the dead? Go and tell. Go back into the city and tell your brothers in Christ. Go and tell the disciples what you've seen and heard. Go and tell them of this living Savior. That was the instructions for the women. What about you? What are you doing here? I'm not talking about here this morning. What are you doing here in this world? What are you doing with your life? Are you looking for the living among the dead? Are you chasing around after worldly pleasures and trying to find some sort of meaning in life amongst the dead? The world will give you all kinds of false promises and they will only end in death. Even your own mind, your own sinful nature will give you all kinds of false promises among the living, hearts beating, but they will end in death. Why do you look for the living among the dead, Jesus says, when I'm alive? When I'm alive and I've come back to remind you, as the hymn writer says, and as you just sang, I live to silence all your fears. I live to wipe away your tears. I live to calm your troubled hearts. I live all blessings to impart. The very reason we live and exist is not to give glory to us, but to give all glory to His name. The one who came, the one who died, and the one who did not stay dead, but the one who is risen. Just as He said. So, what are you doing here? What are you doing on this earth? Maybe take your cue from the words that were spoken to the women as the angel and finally Jesus told them to go back and tell. Go and proclaim this wonderful message of life in the midst of this death of sin. Go and tell your families first. They are your greatest and most important mission field. That's why God placed you there first. Go and spread that message that in turn they might continue spreading it as well without your family, outside of your family, that your neighbors might also come to know, because you can't help speaking about what you've seen and heard. And then make inroads with your enemies, that they might too also come to know this one who has risen from the dead. And let's not forget to go send our workers where we can't go. That's why we as the Synod are privileged to be able to send with our dollars those who go on our behalf. Or maybe either to encourage one of your own children or one of the children in the congregation to consider the full-time service in God's kingdom. Either we encourage them with our dollars, with our prayers, or simply with our kind words. All kinds of ways in which you and I use what God has given to us in the fact that He has risen, He's given us the reliable Word, which is a testimony to what He has done for us, which then gives us the responsibility to take it to the world. Now, I'm not going to make any promises, and Jesus doesn't either, that everyone is going to listen to you. Remember what happened with Elijah and many of the prophets. For that matter, look at the way they treated Jesus. And Mary, she went back and told Peter. He didn't believe her right away. He had to run out there with John, remember? And see it for himself. We're not always going to get results. People are not always going to listen to us. But let that never take away the joy and the privilege that we have in knowing our risen Lord Jesus, in being given that opportunity to proclaim what the angel told us this morning, what the Savior had told to Mary. He's not here. He's risen. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. Because I live, you also will live. And that when you get discouraged, or perhaps maybe hit a dead end, or maybe it's a big stone in the way, may Paul's words be a comfort to you as well. At the end of that great resurrection chapter, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, that you always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. Why do you look for the living among the dead? We don't. We are dead who have been made among the living because of the one who became alive for us. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. He gives us His reliable word as a testimony to it. Let's go and let's tell. Amen.